We continue with our 1 Samuel series. We are still in this entire section that I've simply entitled Samuel's Beginnings. As I keep reminding you, 1 Samuel, I had divided into two parts. We are still in the first major part of the outline, the forming of the prophetic office. We are studying Samuel as a person, and we have divided this main part into three parts. We are still here in the circumstances of his birth, and there are two other parts before we move on to the next part. Okay, so ano po ang nakita po natin dito? Now, here in the circumstances of his birth, I had divided this further into the following, and we've finished on being introduced to Hannah's family, and then we have been made aware of Hannah's affliction. Then we had studied Hannah's solution to this affliction. And from there, we had witnessed, so to speak, Samuel's birth and then his dedication. Samuel's dedication. Okay, and so with that, we closed chapter 1. And today, we begin our study on Hannah's song. Okay, this is still part of the circumstances of his birth. Kaya kung makikita po ninyo, number 6 po ito dun sa sub-outline po natin. And what we will look at really, basically, is the first 10 verses. Now, if you would recall, when we ended the discussion in Samuel's dedication, we had seen that Hannah dedicated her beloved son, her firstborn, with much joy. And the reason for this, as we were closing last Sunday, was simply because she knew that Samuel was an answered prayer from the Lord. Samuel was an evidence of God's grace moving in her life in answering this request, this fervent prayer request that she had brought before God. And the fact that she understood, she saw, she witnessed God answering her prayer was, I believe, the bigger blessing of all. And then, secondly, we said she was able to dedicate him joyfully because she was not giving him up to just any mortal being, but to the eternal God of her life, the safest person with whom to entrust her son. So, kaya po, magaan ang kanyang loob, masaya ang kanyang pong puso sa pag-entrust ng kanyang anak na ito, because she was not really entrusting him only to Eli, who was really a bad father, which we will see later on. But ultimately, she knew that she was leaving him into the hands of God. And finally, she was able to dedicate him with joy because when she surrendered her son to serve the Lord, she knew that this was the highest privilege for both mother and son. And what a privilege it was for her to have a son who she knew that for all his life will serve the Lord. And the account of the circumstances of his birth does not end there. Okay, but do remember that when the original books were written, there were no chapter divisions, there were no verse numbers. It was just a continual text. And so, paano po natin malalaman na hindi po tapos pa itong section pong ito? Because really, here in Hannah's song, and we will read verses 1 to 10, you will see that this is her still part of her response to God answering her prayer. So let us read verses 1 to 10. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king and will exalt the horn of his anointed. I will take 2 Sundays to preach this song to you. Really, when you look at its structure, it's very clearly a psalm. And so the way we will tackle this is the way that we would usually tackle psalms. There's a different way of approaching narratives, like the whole of chapter 1 is a narrative. Pag sinabi po nating narrative, it is a story. And there's a different way that we tackle poetry, like the book of Psalms and like this song, because basically that's what a psalm is. It is a song of worship. Okay? So here, brethren, having read verses 1 to 10, it is very clear here that Hannah's song sets the theological tone, really, not only of 1 Samuel, but the books of Samuel, as we will see in this study. And here, there is, this song is full of theology. And really, verses 1 to 10 of chapter 2 is part of Hannah's joyful response to God's graciousness in answering her prayer for a son. Kaya nga po, sa aking outline po nito, ginawa ko po itong bahagi. No? In my outlining of 1 Samuel, I put this section, even though it is in chapter 2, as still part of the circumstances of his birth, because part of her thanking God really is seen here. So she may have sang this while she was dedicating Samuel, even though it comes after chapter 1, but really it is a song which is a joyful response to the evidence of God's grace in her life in answering her prayer. So apparently, it was not enough for her to just simply thank God in prayer. She had to express her gratitude in song. And that's why here you would see the first line of verse 1, then Hannah prayed and said, and then she bursts forth in song. Okay, I'd like to maybe just stress this a bit, brethren, that this is really what our worshiping is also all about. And that's why I pray that we would desire not to come late for the singing. Okay, not to come late for the singing. Why? Because it is still part of our responding to the person of God as he manifests himself every day in our lives, in the pouring of his grace in all the details of our lives. And so when we come together as a church, our worship is not only the proper protocol in approaching the throne room of God, but it is still part of our joyful response of thanksgiving. No, kaya nga wag po sana tayong malilate pagdating po sa pag-worship po natin sa ating Panginoon. One song missed, half a song missed, if half is half of an opportunity to thank the Lord, or of an entire song missed in thanking the Lord. Okay, so here we see that Hannah just had to sing. She just had to sing. It was not enough for her to just simply say, thank you, Lord. I like what Warren Wiersbe said, you don't need to copy this, but if you want to take a picture of it, go ahead. He said, most people would sing if they could keep their son. But Hannah sang because she could give her son to the service of the Lord. She glorified the Lord who does great things for his people. Okay? So, although he was applying this primarily in the context of this song, I think he is saying something so beautiful here. Most of us will sing in thanksgiving and worship when we receive something from God. But how many of us will sing in joy when we give back something to God? When we have to surrender something back to God? Diba? Ang ganda ng point na ginawa po dito ni Warren Wiersbe, and that's why I just had to share this with you. And I'd like to throw that question to you. Yes, it is appropriate to sing thanksgiving when we receive something from God. But when He asks something from you, do you also respond in joyful thanksgiving? That this is a God who does not need anything, but here He is asking something from me. What a privilege. What a joy. Now, when you look at Hannah's response here in her song, truthfully, her response of worship is very similar to that of Mary's response. Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. So you might want to quickly go to Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. This was a song that Mary sang as a result of her joyful response in having been chosen by God to be the vessel through which the Savior of Israel and the Savior of mankind would come upon this earth. And what an honor this was for Mary. And this whole song of Mary is also known as the Magnificat. Now, of course, the word Magnificat doesn't appear in your Bibles or in our Bibles because it is a Latin word which represents the first word in the Latin version of Mary's song, which is Magnificare. Magnificare simply means magnify. So in the Latin version, in the English version, ang labas po ng first line ng song ni Mary is my soul exalts in the Lord. But in the Latin version, it starts with the word magnificare. I guess it starts with exalted is the Lord in my soul. Okay, so maaring ganun po. And I looked up the word exalted because I was very intrigued when I found out that the word is magnify in Latin. The word exalt really is to make God great in worship. That's what it means when we exalt God. We make Him great in our worship. So it's very similar to the word magnify, and that's why the Latin version used that word magnify, magnificare, to start the song of Mary, hence it was called the Magnificat. Okay, just a little tidbit for you. Baka kasi pag binasa po ninyo yan sa inyong Bible, makikita nyo yung title, The Magnificat. Okay? But that is simply what it means. Okay, so it is very similar. In fact, Hannah's song in many respects seems to anticipate Mary's song. There are many similarities in both their songs of praise and thanksgiving. Like, for example, both Hannah and Mary rejoice over the Lord's grace, over the Lord's grace in their lives, in calling them to, or in giving them a son, in delivering them from barrenness. Now, we don't know if Mary was going to be barren, but the fact that God gave her a son already delivered her from that situation. In truth, ang mas malapit pong situation with Hannah is really Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, the wife of the priest Zacharias, the mommy of John the Baptist, because she was barren and she was in her old age, and yet she was given another prophet in the person of John the Baptist. But having said that, when you look at both these songs of praise and thanksgiving, that is one similarity. Both Hannah and Mary rejoicing over the Lord's deliverance, proclaiming the Lord's uniqueness and holiness. Makikita din po ninyo yan sa song ni Mary, no? They both songs condemn prideful boasting. Both songs celebrate the Lord's right and the Lord's ability to abase the proud and to exalt the humble. There are so many similarities in both these songs. So in short, and if you want to write this down, you may. In short, both songs, on one hand, extols the faithfulness of God's care for those who place their trust in Him. And on the other hand, it extols His judgments on those who don't. Okay, ulitin ko po yan. In short, if I were to summarize the similarities between these two songs, I would say this. Both of them extols the Lord's faithful care for those who place their trust in Him on one hand, and the Lord's judgments on those who don't. Okay? Now, when you look at the Bible, there are many other thanksgiving songs in the Old Testament, the first of which you will find in the book of Exodus. In Exodus 15, we have Miriam's song. Who's Miriam? The sister of Moses. And then later on in Deuteronomy, I think 32, you will have the song of Moses. Okay? And then later on in the book of Judges, in Judges 5, the whole of Judges 5, you will have the song of Deborah and Barak. Okay? Not Obama. Okay? And then, of course, we will later on study this in 2 Samuel 22. You will read of David's song. I had mentioned David's song in one of my past preachings, at least a portion of it. Madami pong mga ganito pong songs of thanksgiving and praise as a result of God's moving. Okay? As a result of God's moving. So, Hannah may have, we don't know if this was an original song from her, or she may have learned this song in worship, but whatever it was, she sang it as a testimony of her own gratitude to God when she presented Samuel at the tabernacle. Okay, so again, gusto ko lang pong idiin dito, and I believe this with all my heart, that the most, how do I word this? The most sinful people, not sinful, but sinful people should be Christians. Okay, why? Because the Lord gives us a new song in our hearts just by virtue of His saving us from our sins and saving us unto salvation. We must be the most worshipful in song. No, kaya nga, nabanggit ko po ito in one of the past preachings lately, that how do you know when a person is in a good mood when he's doing something? The person is humming a song or singing as he or she is washing the dishes, mopping the floor, or whatever hard chore that is. Kung pakanta-kanta sa, paawit-awit sa, alam mong may joy sa heart niya kahit na mahirap yung kanyang ginagawa. No? So applying that to our situation, when we are worshipful in singing, doesn't matter to God if you are sintunado or not. Okay? So remember, Jesus died for your sintunado. Okay? So it doesn't matter. As long as you're singing in your heart, as long as you're singing in your heart in worship to Him as an expression of your thanksgiving. So of all people na mahilig po sa pag-awit, dapat po mga Kristiyano, Okay, hindi lang dapat Pinoy ka, pero dahil dapat Pinoy kang Kristiyano. Okay, so this is what we will see here. Now, the theme of our poem of worship and thanksgiving, brethren, is the extolling of God's sovereignty and justice over all things in general and in her life in particular. This is the theme that I see here in this song. It is the sovereignty and justice of God over all things in general and in particular in her own life. This was what she was singing about. And that's why, as I had mentioned earlier, I believe that this song really captures the theological tone of the books of Samuel. It introduces the theological tone of the books of Samuel, because one of the main themes of these two books is the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. And also the justice of God. Okay? So through the Song of Hannah, you will see that the Lord was manifesting His awesome sovereignty in the affairs of men. Praise God. Praise God that He is sovereign over all the affairs of men. And this is so significant, especially during our times. Because the rebellion of men is so far at an all-time high, I believe in my heart, against God Himself. If you're keeping tabs with what is happening, for example, in a major nation like the U.S., grabe po ang pagre-rebelde po ng tao sa Diyos ngayon. Okay? Many are trying to derail the immediate appointment of another Supreme Court justice because she is a Christian. They actually are articulating now that her Christianity is not relevant to the times, and they are afraid that her Christianity will play a role in whatever judicial decisions that she will be making. And as far as many of these liberals are saying, especially the leftist liberals, sinasabi nila, walang kabuluhan ang kanyang Kristyanismo sa panahon pong ito. There is now a blatant rebellion against God. There was a survey, I'll be sharing this with our pastors in our coming planning, but there is now, even within evangelicalism, I was so shocked to read such high percentages of those who claim to be believers who really doubt that God is truly the God that He claims to be. It's appalling, and it's actually astounding as far as I'm concerned. Sabi ko, Lord, mukha talagang pabalik na po kayo. Mukha talagang naghihintay na lang na bumagsak ang inyo pong judgment, and rightly so. And praise God that He is nevertheless sovereign in the affairs of men. At the same time, here in this psalm, brethren, we will also see that our thanksgiving to God must be commensurate to the intensity of our asking and to the greatness of His answer. Okay, I want you to read that again. Our thanksgiving to God must be commensurate, angkop, to the intensity of our asking and the greatness of His answer. Now, why do I say this? Why do I say this? Because if we're going to examine our hearts, how many of us, when we are asking something that we so desire from the Lord, ask with so much fervency, ask with so much pleading, and then when the answer comes, we say thank you to the Lord, but our thanking is not commensurate to the way that we had been asking. Minsan yung pagpapasalamat natin, sobrang ikli kung ihahambing sa paghihingi po natin. And many times our asking is not commensurate to the greatness of his answer. And what I'd like to challenge for you to do, brethren, is simply this. If you have been praying for something for several weeks or months, and God suddenly blesses you with it, please don't just thank the Lord for one day or two. Whenever you are reminded of what God had given you in answer to your prayer, thank him still. Thank him still. And I've shared this to you. Every time I ride my car or my bike, I thank the Lord. Lord, thank you for this car. When did he give me that car? 2015. When did he give me the bike? More than a year ago. And yet I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I could ride this bike. Thank you, Lord, that I could still drive this car. Thank you for the convenience it gives. Because it is a precious answer to prayer. Well, if you have been saved by the Lord from a serious illness, every time you see your face in the mirror, thank the Lord for your health, for sufficient good health. Every day, it must not stop. Hindi yung pag natanggap na ho natin, Lord, thank you, tapos na ho tayo. No. And I believe this is one thing that we can learn from this. In fact, brethren, I'd like to submit to you that Hannah's greatest expression of gratitude to God was not really the song, was her dedicating her much beloved son back to God. I believe that was the greatest expression of her thanksgiving to God. Binalik niya sa Diyos, yung binigay ng Diyos na pinaka nanais-nais po niya. Her dedicating Samuel was her greatest expression, I believe, of thanksgiving to God. So let's take a quick look at the contents of Hannah's song. Of course, we will not be able to finish this, and we will see what we can finish today. Here, I believe that as we read this song, as we study this song, we can learn how we can thank the Lord in worship. How we can thank the Lord in worship. Of course, this is not extensive, but in the study of this song, I believe that this is what we can learn. How can we thank the Lord in worship? And here I see five ways of how we can thank the Lord in worship. Please don't worry if you're not able to take this down. Dahil iisa-isahin po natin ito. I just want you to see the flow. First of all, worship God with your whole being. We'll see that in verse 1. And secondly, when you worship God in thankfulness and joy, extol God in his unique attributes. Thirdly, know God in his sovereign power to reverse circumstances. Very, very exciting po yan, portion po na yan. Fourthly, recognize God in his sovereign rule over man's destiny. And lastly, acknowledge God in his holy judgments. Okay, so how can we thank the Lord in worship? These five ways. And that's why the way that I have stated these five ways, which are really sub-points of our outline, is in the form of a command. They are all in command form. Because this is how we can thank the Lord. Okay, so wag ko kayo maglalo kung di po ninyo nakopya po yaan. Because atin pong dadaanan isa-isa po yan. So, let's take a look at the first way that we can thank the Lord in worship. And I believe this is the most important way. Worship God with your whole being. So, read with me now verse 1. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." So, in her praying, as I had mentioned earlier, Hannah now breaks into song, describing how she was worshiping the Lord. And how was she worshiping the Lord? Really, this is how we worship the Lord with our whole beings. First, she worshiped the Lord with her heart. My heart exults in the Lord. In the Hebrew, brethren, the heart, when used figuratively, widely refers, yes, to our feelings, but not just our feelings, but even to our will, and even to our intellect. Sa atin po kasi, pag sinabi pong heart, sa, ang unang pumapasok sa ating isipan, damdamin. No, but to the Hebrew mind, when you say heart, it refers not only to feelings, but to the will. It refers also to the intellect. So here, heart, brethren, refers to the inner man. You worship the Lord in your inner man. You don't just worship with your lips. You don't just worship with the external man. That was the Lord's criticism against the Pharisees. These people worship me or honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Let me ask you, when you were singing the songs that we had earlier sung, where were your hearts? Where were your hearts? Were you just singing as a matter of habit, as a matter of routine, as a matter of just starting the service? Were you worshiping Him with both emotion and at the same time with your will engaged, saying, Lord, I will worship You despite whatever circumstance I am now experiencing, no matter what problem or trouble is now afflicting me. I will worship You. And I'll worship You with my mind as well. I want to understand as I sing and read the lyrics of the songs. I want to understand because these lyrics talk about You, talk about Your greatness, talk about the greatness of Your works in my life. I just don't want to read and sing and nothing comes to my mind. No. So here we see that Hannah with her whole being exulted. In other words, she rejoiced in her Lord. My heart exults in the Lord. She rejoiced in her Lord. She did not rejoice in her circumstance of having been given a son. Her first rejoicing was in the Lord. She was thankful for the answered prayer, but more than anything, she was thankful for her Lord. She was thankful for her God. Because her God was still the greatest gift in her life, not what her God gave. And then she worshiped her with her horn. Makikita po natin dyan, my horn is exalted in the Lord. Doesn't mean that she had a literal horn, of course. The word horn is used figuratively in the Bible, more often than not, to refer to strength. And if you look at Psalm 92, verse 10, there you will read, but You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. So here, Hannah was basically saying that her strength was exalted, lifted up in the Lord. Her strength was exalted, lifted up in the Lord. So in other words, Hannah was physically energized in her worship of God as she was honored and lifted high by God in gifting her with a son. So she was physically energized. Okay, this is the other side naman. There are some people who say, well, it doesn't mean that if I don't clap my hands, I'm not worshiping the Lord in my heart. It does not mean that if I don't exude joy and seen in my face, it doesn't mean that I'm not worshiping God in my heart. Yeah, that's true. But don't take that to the extreme. Because a truly joyful heart will be manifest externally also in our countenance. Pag masaya ka, magaan ang mga paa mo eh, di ba? Halos kulang na lang, saseho ka, sasaya eh. Diba? So if your heart is filled with joy, somehow It will manifest even externally in your countenance. Here Hannah was saying, I was just so strengthened and energized. And so she was not tired enough to raise her hands, to clap her hands or to raise her voice to be heard. Ito naman po yung kabila. Yung una addresses those who think that just because they're clapping and raising their hands, they think they're already worshiping, but the inner heart is not. Ang ina-address naman nito ay naman po nasa kabila na ayaw po malakpak, nakaganang mag-worship, pero ang kailangan kasi sa heart ko naman ako nag-worship. Really, friend, let me tell you. If you enter into the presence of God, do you think you'll enter the presence of God doing this? Hi, Lord. Or doing this? Hi, God. Trust me, you won't. Trust me, you won't. So then we see that Hannah worshiped the Lord with her mouth. She worshiped the Lord with her mouth. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies. In other words, she verbally expressed her exaltation in the Lord. And here we see speaking boldly against her enemies. Now the words speaks loudly in Hebrew literally means is enlarged, is made wide. Her mouth was made wide. But then the problem here is the last part, right? Against my enemies. What do we make of that? I believe, brethren, that the reference here is not Hannah mocking or cursing her enemies. How can you do that? How can you do that when you're worshiping before a holy God, rejoicing in His grace in your life? Will you be able to curse and mock your enemies? In the same heart? In the same tone? No. But rather, I believe, brethren, that Hannah here was rather refuting by way of testimony the scorning that she endured from those who looked down upon her barrenness. So here, as she was actually testifying. As she was singing, she was testifying to those who may have mocked her and said, "You had mocked me, but look at the grace of God in my life. Look at what He had given me." And she was not afraid to testify this to them. She was not cursing them. She was not mocking them. But she was testifying to them. And here, brethren, clearly she was referring to her rival, Penina. This was a clear, direct reference to Penina, who for years, as we had seen, provoked her and made her life miserable. She was not mocking her, but she was saying, "You had mocked me, but look at what God had done." She was testifying. She was testifying. Of course, the last line of verse 1 gives us the reason for why she worshiped the Lord in this way. "Because I rejoice in your salvation." Salvation from her situation of affliction. Brethren, oh no, I did not put this here. But just take this down. Rejoicing in God's deliverance requires the involvement of our whole being, including boldly testifying to others what God has done. Okay? I'm sorry. Nabura ko as I was readjusting this the second or third time that I was reviewing my notes. Again, if I were to summarize this first part, it's simply this. Rejoicing in God's deliverance requires the involvement of our whole being, including boldly testifying to others what God has done. Maliwanag po ba yan? including boldly testifying to others what God has done. So here, I don't think it's enough for us to just simply thank the Lord. I think part of our thanking the Lord is telling others, testifying to them of what God has done for you. So that's the first way that we can thank the Lord in worship. Worship God with your whole being. Second, extol God in His unique attributes. So please read with me verses 2 and 3. And this is the last thing that we will study today. Verses 2 and 3. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with Him actions are weighed. So what does Hannah do next in her song? She then begins to extol, to praise some of God's unique attributes. And so she begins with God's absolute and perfect holiness. No, hindi po ba ang angkop na angkop po ito dun sa tinuro pong panalangin ng Panginoon sa kanyang mga disipulo? Isn't this so much connected to the prayer that the Lord taught His disciples? Pray now in this way. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. The prayer starts with worship. And the worship first is a worship of His attribute of holiness. So ganun din po yan. God is so utterly holy that here Hannah says there is no one like Him and that there is no one besides Him. Brethren, this one attribute, God's holiness, is one that most people, including many Christians, think they understand but do not. Why do I say that? Just watch the lives of most people. Just watch the lives of many Christians. It is evidenced by the fact that there are things about who God is, about what God does, that many would immediately reject. Like, for example, His wrath, His judgment. They reject the possibility of God really getting angry, being wrathful and judging. That's why the way people conduct themselves, obviously there is no fear of God. Because they think God is such a passive, benign God. Unfortunately, even some Christians think that way. Yes, they would mouth of God is holy, but God is more loving than He is holy, and He'll understand and anyway, my sins have been washed by the blood of Jesus so that they no longer fear sin or sinning against God. Now, we've talked about the holiness of God so many countless times in the past. I don't need to press this on to you. But here, brethren, in fact, God is so holy in all that He is and in all that He does, far beyond even the holiest of men, that Hannah declares in the second part of verse 2, there is no one besides you. There is no one besides you. I want you to see how that is worded. She did not say, there is no one beside you. Wala kang kalebel. No. Basically, she was saying here, when you look at the holiness of God, there is no one holy compared to the holiness of God. Your holiness is so awesome, it is so absolutely and perfectly great that all other forms of holiness that I see in human beings do not look like holiness whatsoever compared to God who is absolutely, perfectly holy. David declares this in Psalm 86, verse 8. There is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. It speaks of the uniqueness of God being God, and in this case, of His uniqueness in being a holy God. And then Hannah continues with another attribute. Now she continues with God's being strong, being stable, being immovable. Look at the third part of verse 2. Nor is there any rock like our God. Rock. Bato ang ating Diyos. It speaks of His strength. It speaks of His being stable. It speaks of being His immovable. And guess what, brethren? Doesn't that make Him the perfect refuge and the most solid foundation for anyone at any time? Kapatid, saan nakasandal ang pagdedepende mo? Saan nakasandal ang buhay mo? Where are you resting your life upon? Where is it standing on? What are you most dependent on? Honestly, if it is any other thing than God, then you are on really seriously shaky ground and unstable ground. Amen? So you've heard me say this. This is the worst time to be far from God. Because if you want stability in the midst of all of this crisis, it has to be found only in God. Later, in 2 Samuel 22, you will see David again extolling God for this in his song of deliverance from the Philistines. If you want to quickly turn to 2 Samuel 22, just listen to me as I read these verses to you. Verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Our worship leader read this from Psalm 18. And then in verse 3, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge. Wow. Now jump to verse 32. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is a rock besides our God? So in other words, he's saying, there's no other rock. There's even no comparison. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be God, the rock of my salvation. The rock, the rock, the rock. That was after he defeated the Philistines. And then Hannah goes on to the next of God's attributes, at least here in her song. God's omniscience. Look at the second part of verse 3. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with Him actions are weighed. Galing, ano? Ganda-ganda po nito. You see, as the God who has perfect knowledge of all things, He alone knows exactly how to judge the deeds of men. Because He has perfect knowledge of all things. No wonder the Lord says, leave vengeance to me. It's not yours. Leave it to me. And before you judge others, judge first your heart. Because you cannot see the heart of others. And after that, maybe then you can pass judgment according to Scripture. See, men might think that they are better than others, or men might think that they are better off than others in terms of their circumstances. And because of this, they might think that they are more favored by God than others, just like probably Penina, who thought that she was more blessed than Hannah just because she had more children. But brethren, ultimately, it is God who weighs all the deeds of men, the motives of men, and will judge men accordingly. And I believe that the omniscience of God is one of those attributes of God that should humble each one of us. Because the omniscience of God tells us you cannot hide anything from God. There is no place so dark that God cannot see into it. In Psalm 139, remember we memorized that psalm? Where the psalmist wrote, even the darkness is as light to you. Walang lingid sa Diyos. Kita niya ang lahat. And I wonder if you thank the Lord for that. I wonder how often you thank the Lord that He sees everything. I thank the Lord that I cannot hide anything from Him.
Because you know what, brethren? His omniscience, I believe, magnifies his love and grace. Think about it. Because with all that he sees in you and in me, yet he loves you and he loves me. Amen. He sees all the unloving stuff about me, and yet he loves me. I believe his omniscience magnifies his grace, doesn't it? And that is why, knowing this truth, Hannah, because of this truth, opens this verse with an admonition to such people who think that they are better or better off than others. She says, "Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth." Again, brethren, quite clearly, this is primarily, again, addressed to Peninnah, who had made Hannah suffer so much by her provocations. Remember? So, kumbaga, dito rin i-rebuke niya si Hannah and people like her. Stop boasting. Because God knows. Have fear in your heart. Brethren, this attribute of God extolled by Hannah should serve as a motivation for us not to seek vengeance on those who make us suffer, who make our lives hard, no matter how wrong they are. Because God sees them. No matter how much they justify the wrong that they're doing, saying, trying to show that they're right. The end of the day, you say, God knows. God sees your heart as he sees mine. You can declare all that you want. I mean, just recently, one of the top congressmen, in trying to fight for his position, even quoted scripture. I was so scandalized that in his own selfish ambition, he would even quote scripture as if saying that his position is something that God approves. Well, God sees your heart, man. And may that strike you with fear. The point simply is this, and I end with this. Worship and thank God, not only for what he does, but more importantly, for who he is. As I summarize the first point, worship God with your whole being, the summary there is this: rejoicing in God's deliverance requires the involvement of our whole being, including boldly testifying to others of what God has done. Here, in the second way that we can worship and thank the Lord, extol God in his unique attributes, the point is this: worship and thank God not only for what he does, but more importantly, for who he is. Because what he does is based on who he is. If you only thank God for what he does, what happens when you don't see what he does? You will stop worshiping him. You will stop thanking him, right? And many times, brethren, God does things that we do not see, that are not immediately obvious to us. That does not mean that we stop thanking him. Or sometimes God does something that in our minds is completely contrary to what we were hoping that he would do. But that does not mean that he is not doing something good in our life. The psalmist said, God is good and he does good. I think that's in Psalm 119, somewhere there. So just because hindi mo nakikita, hindi ibig sabihin walang ginagawa ang Lord. And that's why, don't just praise and thank him for what he does, but more importantly, for who he is. Because who he is will never change. And who he is the reason for what he does and why he does what he does. Amen? Hindi po tongue twister yan. Amen? You understand what I'm trying to say? So when you thank the Lord, thank him first for who he is. And then go ahead, thank him for what he does. Amen? Are you blessed with this? I don't know with you because I am. Even as I've studied this and I'm sharing this with you, and it informs me. It informs my worship. Amen? Praise God. We'll continue this next week. Father God, thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Father, for your grace. I pray that we had learned enough to transform our worship and our thanking of you. Maraming salamat, Lord. Help us now to apply these things today. Starting today, in the things that we need to worship and thank you for, oh God. Thank you for your blessed word. Plant this deep within the hearts of your people. And Lord, Holy Spirit, bring it to their remembrance that they might apply this and truly rejoice in you in the way that would please you. Lord, as we give of our tithes and offerings, let our giving be a form of worship. So our giving must be cheerful. Our giving must be motivated for love for you and your work. And our giving is always not only an act of obedience, but also an act of faith. Because, Lord, you know our situations. You know our needs, Lord God. But when we give, we are proclaiming that you are our provider anyway. Guide us, Lord, in all our giving, please. And may you be glorified. As we go forth from this place, Lord God, your blessing, special blessing, rest upon each one who had attended this service, whether here or in the live stream. And Lord, I continue to plead with you, protect your children from this virus and from other sicknesses as well. We remember Douglas, Lord God. Please, Lord. Please, Lord, let him recover quickly. Let his illness, Lord, not enter into something critical or severe. We entrust him in your hands. As we go forth, Lord God, may your joy be our strength always. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.